Good evening, this is Jason Leosatis at Global Peace Radio. This evening I've got the great pleasure of a guest down in Spain. His name's Ole Damagod. I hope I've got that right, Ole.
You got it perfect.
Well, Ole, it's a real pleasure to have you on the show. It's always wonderful to have people on my program who talk about truth and justice, a better world for human beings, and you are absolutely certainly doing that. I'll just introduce you. There's so much really to say about you because you've done so many things. Ole is an author, an artist, a musician, a yoga teacher. A couple of his books are Coup d'etat in slow motion, Guilty Victim, Shadow of Tears. This is my little... this is my favorite. Like, can you, it was Remind, wasn't it, Ole?
Remind me.
Well, there you go. It's perfect because you had to remind me. Yeah. what a wonderful title, Remind Me. And that's called, the subtitle is Little Yolanda Yoga Panda. Truth is one, paths are many, and that's a wonderful.
That's a children's book. The other one is a little power book trying to open up the mind to what is going on and where we're really living and how to change our lives for the better.
Well, it's beautiful, and I'll cast this off, if you like, Ole, because I think we're going to have a great chat. I'll cast this off and say that I love the title of the book, Remind Me, because I talk a lot about remembering myself, like Ouspensky used to call it self-remembering. And I say about remembering, relocating, re-establishing, reconnecting to what we've lost. And real religion, if you look at the word religion, comes from the word religare, which means re-ligament, to remember, to relocate to where we've been dislocated from. So that book, it seems a great book. And as humanity, this is where we are now, isn't it? It's like a relocation, a remembering, would you say, Ole, you?
This is why I call it Remind. It's because we already know, but we've forgotten. We've been put to sleep, and it's time to wake up now.
Beautiful, beautiful. Absolutely. There has been a terrible amnesia. I mean, it's been a long, long sleep for human beings, and that's not saying it in a patronizing way. We were put to sleep, literally sedated. One of my analogies is like a spider's web, and you get sedated, you know. A spider will eat you in 2 weeks, but the system we live in actually sedates you, cocoons you, and feeds off your energy for life. So here we are, Ole. It's a very exciting time.
It is indeed. I think 2013 is an absolute beautiful year.
It is beautiful. I'll just say a couple of quotes from your website. Your website is, let's tell everyone your website straight away if we can. I urge everyone to go there. There's some wonderful things on your website. www.lightonconspiracies.com. As I said, the book is Coup d'etat in slow motion. It's very important to tell people that the book is... do you want to talk about the book? I'll let you say what it is, Ole, rather. Yeah?
No, the book Coup d'etat in slow motion is like almost, I don't know, 20, 25 years of deep investigation into the assassination of the Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme. But it also reveals a lot of astounding links to major events like the killing of JFK and Robert Kennedy, John Lennon, and as well as the sinking of MS Estonia, which sounds like total fantasy if you just throw it out there. But I built these words on many, many years of deep investigation into these things. And I tracked down many of the killers and the mercenaries, assassins they've used in many of these hits, and tracked them all the way back and linked them together. And there's a very clear trail of evidence that this elite group that is at the moment holding our world in such a grip by the throat, that they have used the same mechanics for many, many of these major so-called events where they've killed people in horrible ways. So, it links, there are very clear links about between these different cases. So that is coup d'etat in slow motion. And the reason why it's called coup d'etat in slow motion is that I truly believe that it was not just a murder of the Swedish Prime Minister, but it was actually a coup d'etat, and it was done in slow motion so that very few people would notice, meaning that the shots were fired, he died, but then before the power pyramid or structure that was behind the assassination, before that really moved into place, it took several years. So they did it very slowly on a like a stepping stone method so that nobody would really notice what was going on. And this is what happened in Sweden. And by the way, this was not a Swedish assassination. This was an assassination linked to the very highest top and blamed on a lone patsy, as they always do.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Thank you, Ole. And I liked what you said about the slow motion, because it brings things in my mind, you know. And that is what happens with the system. If you're in control of the playboard or the sort of game of the system, it's very easy to put things in slow motion. And like you said, then people have that amnesia and the gaps when it slows down, and they find it hard to pull all those pieces together into one block and say, hey, actually, this looks quite staged, you know. But in slow motion, it's a great analogy, Ollie, you know. It's wonderful, and I love what you talk about. It's wonderful.
Can I ask?
Yes, please.
Sorry to interrupt you, but it seems like you like words and the meaning of words. Do you know the real meaning of the word paranoia? Paranoia.
No, but I love word roots, so please tell me, and I'll never forget it.
Yeah, what I've been informed is that this word is not connected to any kind of mental disease. It's being used like that, but it actually means the ability to connect different events that other people cannot see. And in that case, I feel very proud of being paranoid, because this is exactly when we're talking about people being asleep, it's not being aware of what is going on and not seeing that different events can actually be linked and why in that case they would be linked. So this is also why I'm going on many different international radio shows at the moment, trying to just show the tools they're using, the methods they're using to get away with these things, working with false flag operations or PSYOPs or whatever they're using to get away with these awful things that they're pushing upon mankind.
I think it's wonderful to be able to do that, and you do that very well, Ollie. And I think people are really, it is like people are getting a whiff of the smelling salts now, humanity. And that's why we see the consciousness revolutions worldwide now. And one of the things I talk about in my book is it's actually more like now, not so much a consciousness revolution, but a conscience revolution. It's as though people, their conscience and morals and ethics are becoming relocated, aren't they? So they're being sort of, the battery's being put back in. They're remembering how they've forgotten, you know, Ollie?
Yeah. Sounds very true.
Yeah. I liked what you said about we're plagued with, in one of the titles there, it said we're plagued with emotions such as fear, guilt, worry, greed, and jealousy. I want to ask you a little bit about, I mean, you know, obviously not, I don't want to ask you all about your trip when you, in 1984, the humdrum sort of, in a way, forced you to get on that bicycle, and off you went towards Africa. I also did a trip to Africa for the same reason, ironically enough, and had myself stripped bare in the process too. And it said when you went towards Africa, you actually went to Iran, and you got you were left, the Iran experience left you naked and vulnerable and tore down your inner walls, you know. I want to ask you a little bit about that. You can talk a little bit about the Iran thing if you like, Ollie, but I want to ask you about people's walls and being torn down now, because I think with the system we're living in now, what we're seeing play out in the world is forcing people to look at it, and also forcing people to look at themselves as individuals and as humanity. And I feel we're being stripped bare like one of those Russian dolls in order to come back home, really. And as a yoga teacher, you know, you teach this about people relocating to themselves. Yeah,
that's very true. It's like when you say yoga teacher. I'm not a yoga for the body teacher like Hatha Yoga, but it's a yoga for the mind, what is called Raja Yoga. And this is, I think, an absolutely astounding and beautiful philosophy. Also the philosophy that Gandhi and Martin Luther King and so on, they built their whole belief system on that. And just like you say, this is a time of awakening, a time of all of these things have been necessary to happen, all of these problems and difficulties and painful experiences, I think has been necessary to happen for people to come to this point where it's wake-up time. But also a very painful awakening. I mean, the deeper you have been asleep, the more painful it is to wake up. And but there is no way around it. It's only up to you when you choose to do it. And I think at the moment now there's such a global awakening going on, which is absolutely super wonderful. I feel very blessed to be alive at the moment, that's for sure, even though it looks very scary for most people. If you look through a TV or something like that, you would just feel like go hang yourself. But it's the opposite way, I would say. It's a time of joy, time of celebration.
That's a great point, Ole. I'm really glad you mentioned that, because at the moment a lot of people are thinking it's almost like a hell. It's almost like we're waking up in hell, but I do absolutely agree with you. I think it's a time of celebration as well. I talk a lot about ethics, empathy, love, truth and values. I think humanity is almost being forced to go through that transformational... one of the analogies I give is St. John apparently used to hold, to baptize people, used to hold people's heads under the water until they were thrashing around to the point where they almost died, then he let them up. And I, which was a bit of a cruel transformation, but apparently in that stripping bare of yourself when you almost died, everything was stripped away. And I think humanity is going through that. And in order to remember those values and stuff, and I want to ask you to just talk about you know, there's no doubt about it, the greatest threat to humanity is humanity's own mind, ironically. And what an amazing statement that is, because you know, most things are materialized from our minds. And but I want to ask you just to get your handle, Ole. I always say to people, you know, when you're waking up, it can be a shock to wake up, but to not blame yourself for being asleep, because the system automatically seems almost designed to pull us asleep and keep us in that perpetual agitation of fear that we talked about before we came on air. Yeah,
I think you could take away they're almost designed. It's super designed to keep us asleep. It's super designed to keep us distracted. It's super designed to keep us looking the other way and buying into whatever we're being fed with. I mean, we are being programmed on a massive scale to be asleep. So I think it's amazing that people are strong enough to wake up, because that is not the intention of the elite, that is for sure. They fear us at the moment. This awakening is really disturbing them big time.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're absolutely right. I say that it's almost like it's almost like that beautiful cord to ourselves is almost, we've been stretched away from ourselves to such a degree through fear and agitation and worry about money that cord's almost snapped. And ironically, it's almost had to snap completely for us to feel that dislocated and then have to come home. It's almost like a forced homecoming for humanity, this crisis. What do you think about that?
Yeah. No, I think it's exactly what you say. It's like what Buddha said was rule number one, there is pain. Just accept it. You have to accept it. By being alive, there is pain. It's just a matter of how will you be able to deal with it. And in this case, at this stage where we are now, I think the story you told about him keeping his people underneath the water until they almost died, it was very symbolic, because that is when you finally snap out of it and say, oh my God, my life is really precious. I need to wake up. I need to take care of it. I need to use it in the most beautiful way I can to myself and my the people around me and my family and friends, because this humdum just day to day, being dead in front of a TV, in front of a job, in front of just not feeling anymore, and that they, people need to snap out of it. And now is the time. They're being forced to it. And it's a very crucial time, because if we keep sleeping, we will just go under. And if we wake up, we will wake up to what we, if we do it in the right way, without anger and revenge and hitting back, we will be able to turn this world into this beautiful, beautiful place it's meant to be.
Absolutely.
And I feel very positive as well, because I feel that there's so much of these awful things going on today that is directed by such a small group of people, so-called powerful people. I would not call them powerful, just because they have a lot of money and some expensive suits and the power to order people around. But they are, it's almost like the Wizard of Oz, you know, the story of the Wizard of Oz, where they come to this castle and there's this massive voice just pumping out, saying, whoa, whoa, be afraid, be afraid, be afraid. And then they find out that behind the curtain there's this tiny little old guy with a microphone in his hand, being very scared, but being in control, because he managed to scare the rest of the population. And this is exactly what we see now. I think the so-called powerful people, in my opinion, are only maybe a couple of thousand, and we're like 9 billion people. So it's absolutely ridiculous that we fear them. It's just because they have a lot of high-tech equipment and so on. But it's still ridiculous. It's just a matter of, for me, it's very important that to act out of forgiveness and act out of passion and compassion, instead of making a revolution. Revolution means doing it again and again. And if you watch revolutions, if you study them through history, you will see that the people who did the revolution often become worse than the people who were in power before them. So that's no way to go, to just take over, chop their heads off, and just step into their shoes. That's not the way to go. I really deeply feel that the Truth and Reconciliation Committee in South Africa, they did it the way it should be done. They said a lot of awful things has happened. There's so much suffering and pain. And the only way we can move forward is by getting the truth out there. Let the truth out there so that the body can heal itself. It's like opening a body up for a cancer that has been threatening to kill the body, and we need to expose the cancer growth. Open it up, even though it can be really painful and smelly, but open it up so that the body can get rid of it and start healing itself. And just like in South Africa, where former assassins and torturer and victims are nowadays, in some happy cases, working side by side, now being friends, because both of them were victims of the system. I mean, both sides thought that they were doing the right thing, sometimes with terror acts, sometimes with... I mean, many of these people committing, so these political assassins, they see themselves as freedom fighters, where in my world, they're the terrorists.
Yeah.
So it's the world is a bit upside down at the moment, and we need to gently put it back in balance.
Wow, well put, Ole. It's a beautiful... I'm glad that's recorded, because it's so lovely what you've said. It's fantastic. I just make a little note here. Absolutely, you know, like you said, I loved The Wizard of Oz, and also there was Star Trek episodes like that as well. I was very, very fortunate to have a great mentor of mine who was a very good friend of Gene Roddenberry, the Star Trek, you know, the guy who did it all. And there were some of the Star Trek episodes where they were punished when they thought bad things, choked and things. And behind one of the veils was a little boy making them feel like there was a lot of people, and there was just him, like the very same thing. But absolutely, it's wonderful what you said, and I like what you said about the revolutions. You know, that it's almost like revolution, revolve, almost revolving round back to the same thing. And And I liked what you said also about, like, if you can be worse than, you can become worse than them, like almost like the victim turning into the perpetrator, you know?
That is what's happened again and again.
Yeah, I believe that's what's happened with Israel. Although they're very devious and they've stretched that to the limit, I believe that they've turned from victim, using the Holocaust as an excuse, and turned into perpetrators and overcompensated horribly, you know. So it is pretty dangerous, isn't it, as well, when you do these things?
It's extremely dangerous. It's extremely dangerous. But what one thing that I, if it would be okay for me to approach people on this program, I would like to speak directly to people in uniform.
Yes, and please do, please do.
It doesn't matter if it's security forces, police officers, soldiers, whatever. I ask from the bottom of my heart, please, please inform yourself about who you are serving. Understand that there's no honor in pushing normal people around or forcing normal people into horrible situations, because you are being used. You're being used as enforcers, like muscle enforcers for bankers' greed. You are being used for rape and plunder out of bankers' greed, and they only see you as empty uniforms. They have no loyalty to you. If you don't fit into their agenda, you're out. So just because you have a badge and a nice uniform and a cap on or whatever, and you feel powerful, please wake up. This is not a time to play around. It is a time to wake up and see, understand the true values of life and in relationship with other people. And I just, please see who you're serving. That I just want to emphasize that. And also UN troops and NATO troops and so on, where you're being ordered to go on so-called liberating people here and there. Sorry, you're in for a wake-up call. You are there to be used to invade and crush countries. That is what you're being used for. And these countries are being taken over by the people who are ordering you. So you will get blood on your hands and soil your souls for somebody else's greed. And you think you signed up to do something heroic or brave or honorable. Sorry, that is not the case. So I can just ask, please inform yourself.
I'm really glad you said that, Ollie, because it saves me saying it, you know, because I think I would have said that later, you know. It's really a wonderful thing. Thank you so much for that. That is such an important thing, you know, because most of the people that are causing the trouble in the world, the very tiny handful, like you said earlier on, they can only do it because they're protected by a ring of police and the army. And on their own, I've said this before, and you said almost the same thing, you know, you're being used. These people that are using them are actually cowards and sociopaths if they're on their own.
Total cowards.
You know, now,
total cowards.
I know, I'm not saying that Saddam was a tyrant. Yes, he was, and so was Gaddafi, but of course they were the friends of the West, and then they killed him as soon as they could take over their countries, yeah? But what I'm saying is that when you saw Saddam, you know, there all unshaven and Gaddafi being dragged along, that shows you really what these people are without the army around them. They're terrified, like terrified little children, and they're really cowards. I mean, if Cameron and Obama and these people and John McCain would lead the charge towards Syria or towards these other countries, I'd respect them a lot more. But I'm glad you mentioned that. I was recently at a fracking demonstration. I interviewed a great guy called Peter Owen Jones, actually a priest at the fracking thing. And I was speaking to the police there off camera and off the radio. And I was appealing to them like you just did yourself, Ollie. I was saying, listen, I know you guys have got mortgages, you've got children to feed. This is the thing. I don't blame you for being here. And a lot of those policemen were actually asking if they could be posted somewhere else, because they knew it was wrong.
Mm.
So often, this is the thing, coming back to what we said early on about money. I want you to talk a little bit about money here, Ole, because money ethically compromises people. Now, I had this conversation with Gerald Celente, a wonderful man. I really love Gerald. And he was saying that it's not the money, it's the people that are using the currency that is the problem. But that is also true. But money actually exacerbates those weaknesses in human beings. And we change because of money. We ethically compromise. We do things we'd never do without money, you know. Can you talk a little bit to people about trying to be more careful ethically and morally within themselves, feeling those feelings in themselves again, and tapping back into those feelings that we've almost been dislocated from, you know?
I'm not sure if I'm the right person to talk about this because I'm a bit confused myself. But I know that I do not think it's by coincidence that it's through the money they control us.
Yes.
Because the energy, the money energy, and greed and survival is so connected, and it's like, I think it's almost like somebody with bulimia or anorexia. It is so hard for these people because they need to eat to survive, but eating gets the misuse, the drug thing going. And it's the same with money. You need the energy that money gives you to be able to feed your family and yourself and all of these things. But by being involved in it, you can't step out of the game, at least not up until now. You need to be in it. And when you're in it, they control it. And the game is so rigged and totally to their advantage. So it's a very tricky one, to handle, I think.
Well, that's perfectly put. Go on, sorry, yeah.
And also nowadays, where they so control us with mortgages and taxes and, once again, we talk about words and what they mean. You know what mortgage means? It's a French word.
Someone told me once, but please tell us again, yeah.
It means mortage, which means death, you know. And this is what they want us to get in debt. As soon as we're in debt, they can control us. If we're out of the system, if they cannot control us through the banks, they're having a lot more problems. So it's through the bank and through the tax system. And the tax system is absolutely ridiculous once you get into it, especially in the States, where it's all built on one massive fraud. There is no law, real law, that makes the population of the United States obligated to pay tax. I don't know if you're aware of that. They did it in connection with, I think it was just before the Big Depression, that they managed to get it through the system. One of these laws that says that the American population needs to pay tax. But nowadays, if you look into it, the IRS, and there are more and more of these IRS agents that are stepping back and saying, listen, we've been looking everywhere to find and asked our superiors, where is the law saying that people need to pay tax? And there is no such. It's a massive scam. So more and more people are taking a step back, stopping to pay tax, and they cannot get to them if they stand there, if they manage to stand against this massive, they're being jumped on big time. But I know the new, I think he's applying to be governor for Nevada. And one of the things he's talking about already now is, like, if he gets elected, he would just erase all income tax in the states, in his state, because it's totally illegal. And if you look on other countries, I'm not an expert on this, but it's very well worth looking into what you actually have to pay tax for, and also where the tax money is going. And especially now with the European Union, which is also a creation by the same elite group, where I think it's every one in 16 pound or euro, whatever, 1/16 part of the money you pay that goes to the European Union just disappears. It's just being put in people's pockets, you know, where we have no control where it goes. It's a very, very sick system that is in place at the moment.
I'm glad you mentioned that at the end. I just hesitated before I spoke again because I'm glad you mentioned the word sickness, because I wrote it down here myself, strangely enough. I think it is a sickness, and it's a sickness that we've got used to. And I think it's part of that cancer you talked about earlier, Ole. And I know it sounds like I'm always vilifying money, but I think we've become so used to it. It is like a cancer, and you hear them talking about, oh, we're going to have a recovery. We're in recovery. Well, the last thing you want to do is recover back to a system that's killing you and that's brought humanity to its knees. So we need a new system. There's no doubt about that. And it is rigged. It's rigged to enslave and entrap not only individuals but populations. I'm going to have a little rant now.
No, go for it. I totally agree.
It's lovely to talk about it. But students, I remember, I want to tell you this, Ollie. I looked out of my bedroom window one night. And there was a street light, and there was a spider's web across the light. And I was thinking, wow, how clever is that? How clever is that spider? No one told that spider to do that. There's all those flies frantically trying to get to that light, and they have to pass that web to get to that light. Mm. And this is what they've done to humanity. They've placed that web across an income, the pursuit of an income, the pursuit of success in massive inverted commas. And the students now are the biggest victims because, like I said earlier on, the students have got to get that loan off them, which entraps them in the web before they get through the web to the light of a job, if they get a job. So, like a spider gets you and it cocoons you and stings you and then eats you in 2 weeks. They're more unscrupulous than that. They actually get you, they sedate you, and then they get you in debt and they live off your energy for your whole life, you know. Like you said about the mortgage, that means death. Amazing. I'm glad you reminded everyone of that. And I think that's one of the reasons they're going into Syria, Iran, Africa, because those people aren't controlled by the IMF yet, you know. Do you think that's one of the reasons?
Massively, because one of the major reasons why they wanted to go Iran and North Korea and also Libya was because these were some of the very few countries left with their own central bank system. All our countries, our central bank is controlled by the Rothschild, and it is through the central bank that the whole currency system is controlled. And that's where the whole game is rigged. So this is one of the major reasons why they are really trying to go for these countries. And I must say, you were mentioning Gaddafi before. Gaddafi was not a personal favorite of mine, but I would say that the picture that we have been painted here in the West is absolutely incorrect if you speak to people in Africa and other countries. He was giving several humanitarian awards. He was being looked upon as a true leader. Mm. He was sharing his wealth with the people. He was sharing his oil with all his people. The education was really high in Libya. The unemployment was very low. He was, if you look at it from outside, he was doing exactly what we ask our leaders to do when they're supposed to take care of our country. But here in the West, because he was a pain in the butt for the global elite who are trying to go and push their agenda through, he was painted out as being the devil. And the reason why they painted him out as being the devil was that so that they would have a reason to be able to go there and bomb the shit out of them, take over the country and control the central bank. Gaddafi was one of the reasons he was killed, because he had started the African, I think it was called the dirham, a totally free currency that was going to spread in the whole of Africa, which was being welcomed everywhere, and that would give the African countries their power back again. So that was the reason why he was taken out. And once again, in such a cowardly way, like you say, if Barack Obama or Tony Blair or Bill Clinton or you name it, if they had the balls to go in the front line and say, here I am willing to meet you and I would fear my, and I would face my fears and be a man and stand for it. But these people are such cowards. They're in, lock themselves in the bedroom, hiding under the bed and doing computer games with drones and crap like that, shooting from battleships like 400 kilometers away. They don't even see the destruction they're doing. They don't even dare to watch it. I mean, it's really, really pathetic.
Well said, Ole. And deja vu Syria now. Exactly the same trick, but thank God people are waking up from it now. It's like almost people are, it's like, thank God they haven't got that amnesia. It's like, hang on, this, I smell a rat here, you know. And like you said, it's so easy for them to cause chaos and unrest in a country and wait till all the rebels have, you know, destroyed the place. Then they walk calmly and they've got no people coming home in coffins. They got no soldiers killed. It's a cheaper way of doing it. Cause chaos, then step in when it's all done, you know. It's unbelievable, and I think we're witnessing, you know, that madness now. It's unbelievable what's happening now over there, and I'm really glad you mentioned that because you know, I think people really are waking up from the chloroform now as well, and I'm glad you.
I can. No, it's just that I must say, how thick can you be, you know, not to wake up to it? How many times do you need to see exactly the same thing happen? It's like a template. You just change the name of the country.
Mm.
How thick, I must say that, because while people are taking their time to wake up while watching Idol and other Big Brother programs or whatever they prefer, Emmerdale, people are being killed. Real people are being murdered and children are being told, you know, awful things are going on while we are being asleep. And it's, yeah, but it's hard to face these things. It's hard to, oh, it's painful. Listen, the world doesn't give a shit. It's a matter of waking up here and now. And it's by waking up, we can take our power back and stop this. So it's not tomorrow, it's not in a year or 5 years, it's now. It is now. I can just say, come on.
Well said, Ole. And you made me think of something when you were saying that, you know, how much do you need to see to see it's going on and realise. I think a part of it, Ole, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, you know, I've got a funny, sneaky feeling that we've handed our power over so much to our idols, really, our politicians. And when you see the people waving flags at Obama and screaming in delight and handing their whole wills over to them and saying, help us, lead us. What are they saying? We're helpless without you. And then you hand your will over to them and then you're willless and need someone else's will to lead you. And I think part of that reason a lot of people don't admit it, there's a lot of fear, admit that they've been fooled. In other words, you've got to say, okay, I admit it. I was fooled by morons in government and these cowards that fooled me. I was fooled and my fathers were fooled and my grandfathers were fooled, you know. And I say to people now who are quite shocked, I don't go around shaking people because I don't think that's fair, you know. But I if someone's waking, uh-huh. You know, that's dangerous as well. I can get you to talk about that. But, you know, if someone says, oh God, it's too depressing, I can't face the truth of what's happening, it depresses me, I say to people, listen, and this is an important thing for everyone to listen to, I think. Don't look at it as depressing, look at it as really liberating, because once you see the truth of what's going on in the world, it's very shocking, but if you just turn it slightly, it's not depressing, it's liberating, because it almost lets you off the hook and makes you think, you can say, of course, that's why I didn't feel right all these years, that's why I felt depressed, that's why I felt agitated, that's why I felt distracted, that's why I felt fear, that's why I felt something wasn't wrong, that's why I felt that feeling in my guts that told me something's not right here, me going and voting for one of these three people who are still giving me the same slavery. That's why it's not right, me working my balls off every week and just making enough money just to pay my bills and never seem to get out of the trap of the slavery. That's why I didn't feel right, blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean, Ole?
Yeah, I totally know what you mean. And but the thing is, when this stops, when this group, because it's falling apart now, they're getting, I think they're getting very stressed. because more and more people are waking up, and more, Obama and Henry Kissinger and George Bush and so on has been sentenced. They have not been in the court. I think it was in Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia, but they've been sentenced for crimes against humanity in that country. And then other countries are also taking actions, saying, we see what you're doing. You know, this cannot go on anymore. And I also think that's why the Belgian Queen, the Queen of Netherlands, that she left her throne, and also the Pope. I know these things does not seem connected, but I tell you they are. And this is because the ship is starting to sink, and they're leaving it. They're leaving it. The time is now to wake up. And just like you say, it might be painful, but it's still, there's no way around it. And by waking up, you will liberate yourself, even though it is painful. You will liberate yourself. And once this madness stops, that will also stop these taxation systems that is putting you into this massive slavery. If you start looking into how mortgages are created, how the banks are creating mortgages, and putting your hands in chains, it is absolutely insane. The whole system is insane. So that is why the sooner we can wake up, the sooner we can help everybody, you know, and ourselves, and turn it in. Because I really think that once it starts turning around, it will go very fast, and the world on the other side, once this madness stops, is going to be absolutely beautiful, where people start helping each other, where they open up their hands and arms and hearts for each other and start helping each other, and the greed will go away and all of these. I think there's a beautiful future waiting.
I think so too, Ole. I've got great hope as well. I know I talk a lot about the bad things, and some people say, oh my God, you're talking about the bad things. But I think we've got to get out of that paradigm now, especially in the spiritual development circles, that say, oh, everything's happening perfectly, you know. But actually it's not, and you've got to face it, or, you know, what you resist persists. Now, sometimes it does, but no, you've actually sometimes got to act and see it and face it for it to... And I liked what you said about the, what did you call it? It's almost insane, and it's almost, it's like illegal. It's almost like... so horrible, the system that's been built to entrap people. And I say that anything built on short-term greed and fear cannot last. There's no way. This system has to collapse. If not now, it always does. If you look at history, if you build something on based on fear and short-term greed, it has to collapse. And I'm really delighted now, because you said about the people leaving the ship. In my book, I wrote a couple of the chapters. One is called The Purging of World Government, and the other one is called... A call to all good people in government. So I was putting a call out, like you were to the police and the army just now. I'm putting a call out to the people in government. You know, come out now if you know how bad it is, because you don't want to be seen to be on that ship that's sinking and come out later and everyone know that you knew, but you didn't come out, you know. So come out now. Wash your hands under the tap of truth. You know what I mean, Ollie?
I was just going to address these people myself.
Go on, address because, them. Say it now.
No, because I totally understand now, I'm talking to you, the people in suits and parliament and all of these. I totally understand if you fear us, because a lot of bad things has been going on with your consensus, behind your backs and for your greed and profit. But the thing is, we need to move forward. Please stop the madness. At least I know many other people will meet you with open arms if you leave it. If you take a step forward, take a step out of that mad circle. Also understand that you are surrounded by sharks in your own circles. That everybody inside the corridors of power are getting paranoid, and people are starting to talk out, and people are being afraid of being shut down or killed if they become whistleblowers. But that is the way to go. And the sooner you leave the boat, the better for you, because the more respect and love you will be met with. If you leave it when the boat is really already on the way down, you people will not treat you with respect at all. So I sincerely say once again from the bottom of my heart, listen to your heart. You know what is right. And even though you know that you've done horrible things, be a man or a woman, show your courage, show your strength, and take a step out. Take a step out. Just like in Iran in the revolution, when the people were standing up against the world's fourth strongest army ever, I think, up to that point. And the Shah was sending in tanks and helicopters, and they were just shooting them in the hundreds, and people just still came out, you know, old, young, women, grandmothers, whoever, everybody just continued coming out into the street. And what they did was, they didn't have any weapon, they came and put roses and flowers down the gun barrels. And in the end, many of the soldiers, they just couldn't take it, so they dropped the guns and changed sides, and they were welcomed as heroes, you know. And it was so beautiful to see these things happen, because that is the way to move forward. That is the way to move forward. Not by violence, not by revenge, not by hatred. This is the old way. We need to go the new way, which is the very, very old way, which is the way of love. Love, compassion, forgiveness. These are the tools. And this is, I think, just like you said about mankind meeting itself, this is the time to look yourself in the mirror and confront yourself to see how strong you are in your side yourself to be able to take these steps forward. Can you do these things without judgment? Can you do this without punishing the other? Can you accept what has been going on and that you have been a silent witness to it? Forgive yourself and forgive others and move forward? This is the big question, and I really urge you to search in your soul for the answer, and then embrace whoever. It's like I have a beautiful, beautiful yoga teacher, Raja yoga teacher. Her name is Melanie Chelaram, and she always ends with a wonderful prayer, I think. It says, "May the entire universe be filled with peace and joy, love and light. May everyone, and especially the ones who hurt us, be filled with peace and joy, love and light. Victory to that light." And I think that is so important, that to see that the people who are doing this to us, they're victims themselves, and they're part of playing a game, a universal divine game, where this has been necessary to happen. And now it's time to resolve it, to move forward and lift the whole of humanity to a totally new level. That is what I think.
Well, I think that's the truth. I think it's beautifully put, Ollie. Thank you so much for that. And you know, like you sort of said there, you know, we can only do the best we can at the time. You know, when we've got the consciousness or the self-development or the knowledge or the ethical moral alarm bell, you know, a lot of these people that are coming out of the military now are crying. They said, "I've killed people that could have been my mother and my father," you know. And I watched those people.
It's awful.
Yeah, I watched those guys today on one of the videos. Not a very nice sight. Lining all the Assad's military guys on the floor, naked, half naked, stood behind them with rifles and shooting them. So there was a line of guys that were Syrian rebels, whatever they were, and there was a line of guys who were the Assad people, or the Assad's government, and they shot them all and chucked them down a hole. Now, you or me could bring up any child and condition them that they were either or that they were Palestinian, they were Kurdish, they were Sunni, they were Shiite, they were a jihadist, to teach them they could cut off a person's head and God will let them into heaven, or you can program someone that they're anything, can't you? And I think it's wonderful now, and I'm glad you said that, really, that even the most evil acts that are being played out now, they're only a victim, even the government, victims of their own madness and victims of their own conditioning and victims of their own greed. And I think that's a beautiful way to put it, you know, and I think we've just, the system's just driven people mad, you know, Ollie.
It's if you look at what's going on, I saw a quote somewhere that the juridic system is made to ruin the laws, real laws. The educational system is set up to ruin education, real knowledge. Religion is set up to ruin spirituality. And so the whole system is set up to destroy instead of, there's so much knowledge around, so much ancient knowledge and so much knowledge buried in our hearts, and so much knowledge about healing and real medicine, not big pharma and all this. It's all there. It's all there. It's just a matter of changing our attention to what is natural and beautiful and healing, instead of to what is totally sick and destroying and so-called evil, which is going on today. So it's all here. It's just for us to wake up and make it another choice. We've been choosing to look that way for a long time because we thought that was the right way. Now we see, whoa, the right way is this way. And it's a totally different way.
Yeah, and it's ironic, isn't it? I think it's ironic, Ollie, that it's a paradoxical irony that actually the madness and the horror that's going on in the world and the dislocation from ourselves and that desperation we all feel inside now. I've spoken to two people in the last 2 days who've said they just feel absolutely desperate. When they wake up in the morning, their eyes open and they feel desperate straight away. They've got to find money to pay bills. The agitation kicks in and it's a continual agitation to make money. So that system is killing us. There's no doubt about it. But ironically, it seems to me that it has to have got to this point of us virtually being killed by it to actually wake us up. Isn't it an irony?
I think that we're being kept desperate very much on purpose. And they're very aware of not to make people hungry, because they know if they push us far down enough so that people start really being hungry, then they have a problem with riots and revolutions and uprisings and stuff. So they keep us exactly on the level where we can manage, we can just by get on, you know, just by a hair. And it's made by design to do that, and it's full control.
Yeah.
And they're just pushing us into a corner more and more and more and more.
Here's a question for you, Ollie, and it's a big question, and I don't expect you to answer it. If you don't want to, just say pass, yeah. But it's a big question that bothers me, you know. Is this system, it's not randomly going forward, obviously there's a great agenda for them taking over Syria, for taking over Iran and all the rest of it. I'm not clear of the end game, and I hate that word, end game, as if it's a game. What an audacity for them to use that word when people are getting slaughtered and their mothers and fathers. But, you know, what worries me, Ollie, is that they can see that the people are waking up, you know, and they must be worried now. The people are getting a whiff of who they really are and how evil and blooming unscrupulous they are. I'm a little bit concerned that they're purposely crashing the system and they want a massive war now to bring the people to their knees, have people queuing for loaves of bread. Have you got an opinion on that? Do you think it's actually being done on purpose and they're going to crash the whole lot, and then when we're all starving and searching for bread, they'll come back in and say, oh, we'll help you again, and build up another design system, rehash it? Or do you think that there's more randomness to it? Or do you think, like you said earlier on, that obviously the people are going to go against each other, even in the higher echelons of government? What's your thoughts on that?
I think it's very much designed to be like this. In my opinion, after all of these years, what they're trying to accomplish is what they call the New World Order. And this is what Hitler was building up, the Third World Reich. Now they're trying to build up the Fourth World Reich. And it's not a pretty picture. I can describe it in detail if you want. But their agenda, what they're trying to accomplish, is to destroy the world as we know it now and then build out of the ruins their new world. And that world will be one global fascist state with no borders. It's one big country, one state, controlled by one world army, which is built by the NATO troops and the UN troops together, including all the national military armies together, put into one. There's going to be one global currency, digital. It's very important for them to get the currency digital, because once it's digital, they can control it. As long as there's normal money bills, you know, coins, these type of things, if you have problems with your credit card, you can always pull some coins out and pay like that. You can also pay for black work and all of these type of things. But once the currency is the only thing that exists, the one controlling the computer that controls your credit card or your chip or whatever it's going to be used, they are in total power, and they can just stop you from being able to purchase anything with a click of a finger. So this is very, very dangerous, I think, way we're going into digital currency.
So it's like them having a button. They can choke you at any moment when you're a naughty boy or girl.
Yeah, this is the plan. And the plan is also total surveillance, which they're building up now with all these so-called terror acts, which I can talk about for hours, which I really think that I don't even know if there is such a thing as a real terrorist, because every single terror act I've been looking into, I track it down to the same group of people all the time. Same people behind it, different people on the set, the people who did it and on the street level, but behind it, up in the power pyramid, same people behind it, and almost always inside jobs.
So do you think,
and also
go on, sorry Ollie, yep.
No, also, which is very disturbing, is that they, according to their own agenda, which has leaked out many times, is that they would like the global population to be a lot less than it is at the moment. And one of the ways they do, that they're trying to depopulate, is by vaccines, which is an absolute horror, if you ask me. I urge people to educate themselves on what is in these vaccines. And once you start finding out that they're designed, they're actually labeled weapons of mass destruction in some institutions, and this is what many of them are, if not all of them. There used to be a reason for vaccines, but now they're causing so much damage, and they're designed not to be able to, so that you can track it back and say, oh, that was the reason because I got that shot. They're designed to do it in steps, so that you get one shot here, one shot there, and maybe the third shot you get, boom, that's the one that hits in, and then you can't track back to why did that person die or get all of these strange diseases or whatever. And so please, I urge people, especially when they're with their children. My God, nowadays they want kids by the age of 2 to have, I think, 26 different vaccines, and it's absolute madness. And you have to understand that when you inject something, you go past all the body's different walls of defense, like the skin and the immune system. When you pump it right into the veins, you're on the inside, and there it's whatever you pump in there can do whatever destruction it's aimed to do. So it's vaccines. Chemtrails is another one that they're really trying to get to the population through the air, and also through the food. Monsanto is one of the major companies controlled by them.
Dreadful people.
And the owner of multiple of these companies that we see in the shops every day. And they pump our food with awful stuff as well. We just have to accept, in this time and age, there is an attack on all fronts. On all different, I would say there's a war going on. There really is a war going on, but most people are not aware of it. And the war is for your body and soul, how to control you, how to take over you, and how to, in some cases, kill us off.
Mm.
So it's not a pretty picture, and it's moving fast forward very fast. So it's not a time to sit around and study your own navel and think, oh, I want to have another lollipop. It's a very good time to wake up now, I would say.
Oh, brilliantly put, Ollie. And the Georgia Guidestones, I think they say it as it is about the population. Bill Gates is going on about it. So it's right in your face, really. But no wonder people don't want to listen about this or talk about this. It's much easier to watch television and have a couple of beers, isn't it? Let's be honest. I had a lady called Barbara Wren on. She's a great lady on the radio. It's on the archive. She talks about the blood-brain barrier that gets destroyed in little children with the vaccines, you know. Yes, disgusting, absolutely disgusting. And, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that that it is it's literally a war. We're in a war of survival. And if we don't wake up, like you said, we don't want a massive revolution. We don't need to. Just shining that light of truth on there, I think it will dissolve. And I liked your cancer analogy earlier on, you know. It's a lovely analogy. And I think it's the wretched stuff in the system, in the government, like you said, is like a cancer. And I think the truth, the more people see the truth, the more that light of truth will be shone, like almost like a radiotherapy and chemotherapy, on all those elements of the cancerous tumors within government. And I think the more the light of truth is shone on the government as a whole, I think the more people will bail off who are feeling guilty about being there and being exposed, and they will come out. It's happening now, isn't it? People are coming out more and more, you know.
I tell you, I had a friend here. I live in the south of Spain, and just outside a little village called Estepona. And a friend of mine, who was selling his apartment, and he had some money. He went to the bank with the money, and the bank director, who knows that he's been somewhat wealthy before, he has always tried to sell him, you know, another apartment and get him more mortgages. And this time, this bank director, once again, this is in a small town, small bank office. He said, "Please, Phil, have you got 5 minutes?" And so my friend Phil went with him and sat down, not knowing what was going on. And this bank director, he sat and he had tears in his eyes. And he said, "Listen, Phil, I just want to say I'm so, so sorry. I had no idea." Oh, no, that he didn't say that. But he said, "I'm so, so sorry for putting so many people into such horrible situations and in such," he didn't use the word slavery, but that was what he meant, "with all these mortgages."
Wow.
Which is, especially on this coast, you know, Costa del Sol, it's been living, thriving on all of these construction things and mortgages and all of that. That has been a major part of living here. But I just thought it was really interesting that such a low-level bank director was waking up and stepping forward, saying that to a client like this. I thought that was amazing.
There's a conscious...
Because this is...
Go on, sorry, yeah.
Sorry?
Go on.
No, you...
No,
okay.
No, go on.
No, it's just... It's just happening everywhere. It's just popping up everywhere. Like you said, these soldiers were crying. Other people, whistleblowers, are getting off, you know, telling things. You and I on radio... Many other people are. It's just going on. It's there is such a beautiful awakening. It's like fireworks at the moment. Mm. I really think so.
Even in the someone was telling me why on the show and I was delighted when he told me, because he said even I remember it was David Swanson. He's a great activist, anti-war guy. He said about even the people in the military, they're operating the drones now from a cowardly 3,000 feet. You'd think that they wouldn't.
Oh.
Yeah, you'd think that they wouldn't feel that guilt and that those ethics and morals burning in them. But he said actually it's worse, because what's happening, he said, is they have to watch a house for weeks and see the little children coming in and out and da-di-da-di-da, and then see the mothers and the fathers and then drop that bomb on them. And he said they're having terrible post-traumatic stress now. So I think there is a conscience awakening. There's no doubt about it. It's a wonderful time. And I've done things that I'm very... I used to be in sales years ago. And I signed people up when I knew they really couldn't afford it, but they wanted it. But we've got to forgive ourselves for doing what we've done with the information and the consciousness that we had at the time, obviously. And on that subject, I want to get you to talk a little bit. There's so much to talk about. We could be here for a long, long time, you know. And you know, there's no big rush. I want you to talk about, you know, because you deal with the mind a lot, you know. And until we put the mind right, I'm sure you'll agree, Ollie, I don't think we can put anything right. I talk a lot about that we're like an orchestra playing out of tune, humanity. And we've got psychotic conductors waving their sticks around at us. And we're just playing the mad tune that they want us to play because we're all so imbalanced as well. And I think once we start individually retuning ourselves and finding that peace within ourselves, then the whole orchestra can play in concert pitch again. And I think we are wounded and shocked. I've looked into shamanism. I've seen that you've looked into the old Red Indian, the American Indian traditions, great wisdom and truth, which was obviously squashed by the maniacs who wanted to destroy them. But finding, we're almost being forced now to find peace, inner peace, in an asylum, Ole, aren't we? Because it is almost like an asylum now. If you look at these big cities waking up every morning, we're waking up into an asylum of agitation and fear. We're running around like chickens, frightened to make the next buck, you know. Can you sort of speak a little bit to people with your experience with the book with the yoga for the mind? Just a little bit about what gives people advice about how to transform themselves, how to feel that peace inside themselves when there's such noise around them. Because a lot of people fear silence now. We're so used to noise that there's no gaps in the mind. So I remember, just a quick thing, Ollie. I remember the first time many years ago when I was trying to quiet my mind down and get out of the madness in myself. Because sometimes the madness and the noise has got to reach a pitch where you can't stand yourself anymore to try and get rid of it. I remember the first time I really felt that absolute silence. I tried to meditate. I was sat there. I thought, oh, God, here we go again, trying to meditate and lots of noise, all that rubbish bullshit thought again. And then after a lot of sitting, suddenly, oh, my God, what was that? There was nothing. Yeah, there was nothing. No noise. It was complete peace and silence. I almost forgot the feelings in my hands. You know the whole story. And it was a shock to feel nothing and feel silence. So I think people were being forced to find our way back through the map of ourselves where we've become lost through our madness. And it's almost like we want to come home now. We're like children who've lost our way. Can you give people some tips, maybe an exercise, maybe something, can help people to find that peace as they're even walking along the road. I call it self-remembering. Keep remembering when you've forgotten. Oh, I forgot myself. Pull yourself back. Oh, I forgot. Can you give people a, you know?
For many, many years, I was on a road. I just knew that this is my way. This is the right way for me to walk. And I always felt very strongly at a strong resemblance with Martin Luther King and Mahatma Gandhi and these people, the way they lived and thought. And I always felt this is the way to go, even though I don't know how to do it. This is the way. Also with the Native American, their philosophies and so on. I always felt very strongly about that. And then one day we, under some weird circumstances, bumped into our yoga teacher here. And at that time, I thought yoga was just a lot of weird postures. And the thing is, I'm stiff like a log, and my body is not made for that type of yoga. So I never thought that yoga would be for me. But this was Raja Yoga, which is yoga for the mind. And it's a 5,000-year-old science. It's not a religion, it's a philosophy. And what it is actually, it's like, it's almost like a manual. Especially there's a book called the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali. And it's almost like a manual that has been made during 5,000 years, being given down from generation to generation, from yoga teacher to his pupil, from yogi to the next, and so on and so on. And things that have been tested for many, many, many generations. by people with long beard and sitting in caves and testing out their minds and the secrets of what's going on inside and so on. And so for me, it was amazing to find this yoga philosophy. And it builds on all the beautiful values, like Jesus was standing for, Buddha, all of these things, where some of the main ingredients is non-greed, truthfulness, non-violence, and things like that. Very beautiful things. And if you take the book, the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, it's like small verses. The sutras means threads, actually. So each little verse is like a thread, and together they weave a blanket of truth. And it's almost like a step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and so how to connect with the divine or the greater power or the force or whatever you want to call it. I mean, I think most of us on some level are aware of that. Oof, there is something bigger than us going on here. There's whatever you want to call it. Most people get scared when you say God because it's been misused so much, but there is something there that is holding this whole thing together. And I know that in yoga, the mind, the human mind, is described as a drunken monkey stung by a bee and chased by a rattlesnake or something like that. To control the mind is like to stop the wind with your hands. You just cannot. But what you can do is you can, by a lot of practice for a long time without a break and with all your heart, you can slowly start calming it down. The mind is put there to help you, but we have let it go berserk. The mind is in many different layers, but the mind that most people think of their mind is like, it's really good when you walk across the street to know that, whoop, I need to check if there's any traffic, I need to think. But what we, and that is why one of the reasons it was put there, to keep us, you know, like if you put your hand on the stove and burn yourself, next time you're going to do it, the mind will say, whoop, 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 don't do it again, that would be silly. But that was the reason why it was put there. But we've given it so much power that it's just playing all these mind games with us, and we're just sitting as a spectator watching the game going on between the left and the right and the head, just like a tennis match. And the thing is to slowly, slowly detach from your thoughts, see that that the thoughts are not actually yours. They are yours, but it's not you. And that the mind is made to think. I think it thinks about 60,000 thoughts per day, so you cannot stop it. It's made to think, so it will produce thoughts coming on. But what you can do is you can detach yourself more and more and start seeing the thoughts as just being almost like on a film screen, thoughts coming in from the left, thoughts coming out from. And then it's up to you which ones you want to give power and which ones you want to take and own and say, yes, this is what I stand for, this is what I feel. Because the mind is capable of absolute madness, total crazy thoughts, whatever. It's just the way it is. But so you're talking about meditation. Meditation is one way of slowly getting to the point where you can detach more and more and calm your mind down by also letting the mind know that you don't want to get rid of it, you don't want to chop it down or kill it. You just want to not be part of the game anymore. You don't want to be controlled anymore. So how to quiet it down. And meditation is one way. And most people think that meditating is you sit still and the mind should just go still. That is more or less impossible for beginners. I mean, I've been doing it for 7, 8 years, something like that. My mind still goes like boom, boom, boom. But what I do feel is that it's calmed down a lot, and I feel a lot more centered when I meditate. And even if it's only like 5, 10 minutes in the morning, as long as you do it on a regular basis, if you do it 5 minutes a day, but every day, that it will really help you. And also, one other thing is to focus on your breathing, that when you start getting nervous and agitated and so on, I will guarantee you that you've stopped breathing, that you're breathing very shallowly. So stop up, take a few deep breaths, or sit down and just breathe in, breathe, take some deep breath in. And when you're taking like 10 of them, I tell you, whatever situation you were confronted with that seems scary will look less scary. And just go slowly that way. And one thing I love to do is, I think at least my mind is like this, that if I went to a train station before and saw people, I would automatically say, short, tall, fat, ugly, beautiful, strange, intelligent, all of these judgments just being pumped out. One glimpse of a person, boom, I knew who she was. I knew who, and I had absolutely no idea. All people, I would say, as like wonders and miracles, if you start looking into it, with an amazing story most of the time when you, once you get into the backgrounds and so on. But what I started to do is like, I train my mind by, every time I look at somebody, I say the word divine, 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 divine. Doesn't matter if they're long, tall, short, fat, whatever they are, divine. And suddenly I tell you, the whole world starts smiling towards me. It is amazing. It's like Louis Armstrong says, you know, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you. And that is exactly, when I start, I've tested it. I've always, some days I tested it. I've thought, okay, now I'm going to say evil. Every time I look at someone, I'm going to think evil, evil, evil. And it's suddenly, the world is not a very nice place anymore. It gets freaky and a bit paranoid. And so it's like, out of an egotistic way, just to feel better, it's so much better for me to use the word divine, divine, whoever I look at. And my whole life starts flowering in a different way, you know, becoming a lot more beautiful, and my relationships become better. And so that is something I would really recommend you to play with your mind, you know, become friends with it and twist it so it works for you instead of against you.
Oh, that's great advice. I know it's a big subject, all but I wanted to get a bit of peace for people there. And you know, I liked what you said, we're not our minds, you know. And most people think we're exclusively our minds, and that's why we get dragged along kicking and screaming by our own minds. And I like what you said about, you know, finding that peace. It's almost like, you know, if you can watch your own mind, it proves that we're not exclusively our mind, doesn't it? And that recognition is a great freeing, a freeing sort of realization, really. Oh my God, thank God I'm not just my mind. If I can watch it. And I always say to people, reside more in the watcher, which is the, you know, whatever you want to say, the more powerful you, where there's not so much noise. And we're not controlled so much anymore. I liked what you said then. I always say, also say to people, when our minds are full of noise, there's no gaps that you can find peace in this, because it's all noise. You can recognize peace in a lot of noise, but if you can find those little gaps of peace like Ollie was talking about, and the more gaps you, those more pieces of peace you find in there or put in there, then that peace can expand, you know, and the noise dissipates. And I you know, if you leave it to chance, you're in big trouble. It's like lightning. It's like, it's not random. It takes the path of least resistance. And I read a little bit about what you said earlier on about your computer analogies, you know, about the mind. And there's an acronym, GIGO, G-I-G-O, which means garbage in, garbage out. It's a computer acronym. And there's no doubt about it that if, you know, look, I think you said earlier on that you alluded to the fact that we're always so worried about our computers putting antivirus in and this, but when it comes to our minds, we'll let anything into our minds, and it's hard to get rid of it once it's in there, you know, isn't it? So we've got to be more careful with our minds, haven't we, Ollie? You know, if we want to be peaceful beings again on this planet, you know.
This is why, one of the reasons I say turn off the TV.
Yeah.
Because that is like opening up your computer without an antivirus software.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that is, we're being pumped through that one. This square box, it's really nice. I mean, I love watching films and TV and stuff like that, but you really need to be aware of that. It's one of the major ways they get to you. And they want everything else but peace for you. They want this confusion, they want desperation, they want fear, they want all depression, all of these things where they can, the way it can be controlled. It's only when you free yourself and your mind becomes immune to these things and to gets to a more peaceful place, that is where you can stand up in your own power and stand in balance. So, and also one thing, if you turn off the TV, suddenly you have to start talking to your wife and discover, my God, who's this beautiful woman? I almost forgot who she was, you know, and my God, I've got kids. You know, we could take a bike ride or even talk to each other. You know? Maybe have a meal together. That would be weird.
Without the television on, yeah.
it is. And one thing we have is also, we have a TV. We were without for a while there. But also with the things I do, I need to be somewhere where, even though I more or less never watch TV news anymore. But one thing that we do with our daughter as well is, like, when there's commercials on, we turn off the sound. Because
programming, yeah.
I've used to do music to commercials, and I've seen how they put it together and how it's very deliberate, how it's, you know, how they go for your subconscious and see how they can pass your barriers.
Mm.
So that one, and also this thing with just leaving kids in front of the screen. I know I do it. I'm absolutely not perfect in that area, but it's not a good babysitter. Mm. Not.
I think most mums.
No, they take.
Yeah, go on.
No, but they really want to get to your kids as early as possible.
Mm.
You know, to get them in their control and in their power. And this is not the way to go, in my opinion.
Exactly. You know, I've seen kids in front of the telly, and you can talk to them, and they can't even hear you. You know, it's hypnotizing.
No.
You know,
it is.
And I
why do you think it's called TV programs? It's programming. That is really what it is.
Exactly, Ollie. That's a good point. I think most people just are so depleted and depressed and freaked out when they get home from work, working all day, which is completely unnatural, by the way. That's another subject we could go into in another chat, mm-hmm. another time. But, you know, it's so unnatural to be stuck in an office like a hamster in a cage all day. No wonder people want to come home and just sit in front of the telly and just be frontal lobotomized and just sit there dribbling, literally. I've done it myself.
I can.
You know, what a joy.
I totally. I can totally sympathize with that.
Yeah, you know, it's an escape.
But at the same time, if you start seeing who's behind, who's controlling these TV stations, the very few people who are controlling media, both newspapers, and I mean, they've been working very hard to centralize power for generations here.
Yeah.
And especially the last 50, 60 years, it's been going in a very fast speed forward.
Yeah.
So I think it's in your own interest to find out what's going on and see if you can stop the game. And one way to stop the game is liberate yourself by pushing the button.
As we said earlier on, you know, we talked about it earlier on, that actually it's very liberating to see those things that are controlling you, and that gives you a chance to escape. Like good Jeff said, you can't escape from prison unless you see it, you know. And that's one of the things with the Occupy movement. It was wonderful. But in another sense, they're saying, please, sir, give me more. Please give us a bit more. Like Oliver Twist, I think it's time for us to actually start designing our own systems and empowering ourselves more and more. And on that subject of empowerment, Ollie, because we're going to have to close in a while here, but I want to just we're both artists. You're an artist. I'm an artist. And before we go, I want to give, you know, give people some more empowerment here to take their power back. And I want to, just to set the base camp and get your take on this, I talk a lot that we're magicians with amnesia. If you look at all the great people in history, whether people believe this or not, let's take someone like Jesus. If he was, I'm just saying, he said that you can do what I can do and more. And I talk a lot, Ollie, about the fact that we're magicians with amnesia when I'm talking about self-empowerment. In other words, almost everything we see begins with a thought. Even a child, even a bookcase, even a block of flats, even a road, even a car, all began with one thought. Now, sure, those molecules were there to be tapped into place by that thought to reach fruition into something solid. But what I say to people is that we're magicians with amnesia. We sculpt, we manifest with mind. So we have forgotten that, and actually we're magicians with amnesia. We can actually create a new reality. It's as though we're as artists, like we've got a blank canvas and we can create anything on that canvas. Our future and our own personal lives and our future and the humanity's future. But moreover, if it's a shitty mess, that painting, which humanity is at the moment in a lot of areas, we're destroying ourselves, we've also got the power as artists to actually change that picture by painting something else over it. Can you give some people some empowerment in that area? You know, remind people of this kind of thing. Can you, Ole, tell them that they, you know, we've got that ability to change anything, and furthermore, we are the engine room with the ship. We're the people that actually, you might have psychotic captains on the bridge shouting down, change, stoke the boilers, do this, do go to work, come back. But ultimately, we are the power, aren't we, Ollie?
I totally agree with you, and that's what my little mini power book Remind Me is all about.
Tell us, go on, yeah.
Okay, it's like I came one day, I had like almost like a flash, you know, of insight, or what I felt was insight and an incredible flow of inspiration, where I was writing for 4-5 days nonstop, and I felt like it was like all the big philosophers and people like Jesus and Buddha, and also people like Louise Hay and Wayne Dyer and all of these people, they're all saying the same thing from different angles. But religions and New Age and all of them are saying more or less the same thing, but from a different angle. And so I thought, I'm gonna write this down almost like a manual for a computer game, but it's called Remind Me, the manual, and it is a manual, but it's not to a computer game. It's to your life and how you can create it, what things to be aware of, how you can become a conscious creator, where your power is and what the rules are. And I really think that Jesus, he was like a hacker saying, listen guys, you have totally misunderstood this. You know, there are some really amazing shortcuts you can take. And these shortcuts, the general idea is love is the shortcut. With love and faith, you can move mountains. Whatever looks real, you can move it. You can walk on water. If your faith is strong enough, you can walk on water. It's all an illusion. But if you're lacking faith, poof, you're going down. Blah, 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 blah. Well, this is what this book is about. I try to make it very short and very precise, and in a language that also appeals to teenagers and kids and stuff that are used to computers. Because I think the computer analogy is it's very similar to what's going on in this world that we call real. I think the film The Matrix, the first one, explains it in a very, very interesting way, what is reality.
Ole?
Yep.
You're still there, yeah? That's okay. Yeah.
I still am.
No, very, very well put, Ole. And that sounds an amazing book. And you reminded me, I had a lovely conversation with Bruce Lipton. He's a cellular biologist, you know. And a great...
Yeah, I know Bruce Lipton.
Yeah, I've enjoyed him. Go on.
He's made testimonials about Remind Me.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. He's a great guy. And I was talking to him about the manipulation of matter via consciousness, you know, because he talks a lot about that we actually, we manipulate matter literally in into being. We can change things. So I think that's what people like Jesus were talking about, you know. You can actually change matter via thought, you know. And I mean, we're not even solid when you think about it. And I like what you said about the them all sounding the same, you know, all the different things, all the different.
But I also think that we're put here on Earth with like a compass, an inner compass, and that is our passion.
Yeah.
The thing that we burn for.
Yeah.
in our souls, that is the direction.
Yeah.
And depression is very often when you have deviated away from that road.
Yeah.
So the thing is to find your passion and then follow that, even though it can look very scary. And on the way to go that way, you have your feelings, which is like a sensors saying, almost like an autopilot saying, if you go into fear, boop, 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 okay, need to go back. As soon as you go into fear, you're on the wrong way, or depression or sadness, you're off the track. As long as you can hold yourself, I'm not talking about putting on a smiley face or anything like that, but if you can keep yourself with the high-powered, high-vibrational thoughts, positive thoughts and beautiful thoughts and loving thoughts while being guided by your passion, as long as you can stay in that feeling, you are on the right track, wherever that will lead you. Some people want to become a baker, other people want to be a carpenter, somebody want to be a veterinary. Whatever, you are the only one who knows where your road is aiming. But the passion is the secret key to where you're going.
Beautifully put, Ollie, beautifully put. So depression and dissatisfaction and those feelings of, not being fulfilled enough, they're alarm bells, I suppose, aren't they? You're right. I think you're absolutely right there.
Yeah.
Beautifully put, Ollie. They're telling you where you're going, what you shouldn't be doing. And everyone feels dissatisfied globally now because the system is wrong. It's ridiculous, you know?
But also, do you know that depression, I dare to say that, is like an ego trip. Depression is when you start focusing too much on yourself and your own so-called problems. So the trick to get out of depression is to go out and help someone.
Yeah.
Look for someone to help. As soon as you help someone else, they will feel better. You will feel better. People who see you do it will feel better. It starts lifting you right away. Do it when do something beautiful for nature, or pick up whatever, clean someone's stairs that's not even there, they can't see you. Do something for someone else and you will start lifting.
Yeah, you're right. We get more. Okay. Go on, sorry. Yep.
No, I need to leave soon.
Yes, we got to go. Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah.
I can hear stirrings downstairs. You're right. We've got to close this. We could go on forever, It's wonderful, Ollie. It's been wonderful speaking to you, and I'm sure we'll speak again. Soon.
Anytime you want to.
Yeah.
Anytime, and
it's been great.
Please, if you
go on.
If you know other people or other shows or anyone else, I'm right here.
Absolutely.
Whatever it takes, I'm here.
And I also want to remind people before you go about your website. Please go to Ollie's website, www.lightonconspiracies.com. Also, please donate. There's a donate button on Ollie's, because Ollie cannot carry on his work if people don't help him. So, and please give and help Ollie. And your book, where can people get your books? On the website, Ollie?
Yeah, on the website as well.
Fantastic, Ollie. That's wonderful. It's been great talking to you. A great pleasure, Ollie. And you're doing wonderful things out there. And we need more people like you, Ollie, for sure. So thank you very much for doing everything you're doing and for coming on the show.
The pleasure is all mine.
Thanks, Ollie. You take care now. Bye.
You take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.